new in quality, and free from any curse, will surely be beautiful beyond the wildest expectation of man. Pick the greatest beauty that you can see on this planet, and I tell you, it's a beautiful planet. For as destroyed as humans have made it, it still has held up pretty good. It's still beautiful, but it's still under a curse. When God does the new thing, is it going to look like this earth and this heavens? I don't know. There's a lot of information that we don't have about that, and I kind of feel like, surprise me. You know, like, you did a fabulous job on this one. What do we do in the meantime? Here's an interesting thing. Because I have lots of friends. I'm from the upper left-hand corner. I'm from tree hugger land. I myself have been a tree hugger. And the only thing that I disagree with my friends that are living their conviction to try to save our planet is that it won't work. I applaud them for living up to their convictions. I found a great bumper sticker that I had on, and my friend Josh, we had them on our VW buses. You knew I had a VW bus, didn't you? And it says, save the earth, honor its creator. We are stewards. We haven't been very good ones with the beautiful place that God's given us. So I don't think there's an excuse for not being a good steward with any good thing that God's given you. But the Bible really makes it clear where it's all going, where the storyline is going. I read somewhere, I wish I could give credit to the person that said it, but it really resonated with me, that said some people are trying to keep the ship afloat. Other people are trying to rescue as many passengers as possible before it goes under. And I thought, okay, I fall into that second category. If people keep things afloat a little bit longer, then that gives me more time to rescue the passengers. We already know from verse 9 that the reason judgment hasn't happened in the way that it will happen is simply because God's so patient. He just wants there to be plenty of opportunity for people to repent. My personal feeling, and you don't have to agree with this, my personal feeling is that some of the huge tragedies and cataclysms that we've seen in the last year or two are opportunities for people to see the tenuous nature of life and start thinking about eternal things. Is God causing them? I don't know. I don't think he would have to. I think that even the natural consequences of what humans have done to the earth would mean that a lot of this stuff could have just happened, just because that's the direction the earth is going. I'm just glad we got a new one coming. Can't wait to see it. I love the phrase that says that it will be the permanent home of righteousness. You know, I was thinking of the last pastor's conference I went to down in Joe was one of the speakers. In fact, Joe led communion. And, oh, I love it when he does communion. 800 pastors, Calvary pastors from all over the eastern seaboard. In a beautiful place. We're worshiping the Lord with my brothers, and I feel so lonely for that kind of fellowship, especially in an area where hardly any ministers will even speak to me. It's wonderful to be around guys that you feel related to them. And we're worshiping God, and I'm just thinking, man. And it's fabulous food. All Calvary Chapel things have fabulous food. And I'm thinking, it just doesn't get any better than this. And then I'm thinking, oh, yes, it does. What if you lived on a planet made by the same one that made this one without any effects of sin, where not one eyelash moved out of sync, out of sync with the will of God, where everything was righteous, all human relationships. I be honest with you, cannot wrap my brain around it. The best that I can do is that old hymn, "Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above." Every time I experience that, even in a little bit, our guy nights on Monday, I look forward to them all week, just to be with my brothers. Every time I have fellowship like that with one of you or with all of you, I just think, this is what I want. I want everybody to know this. It's why I'm not happy having a little church. It's not about the size of the church. It's about all the people that don't know this. It's about the people that are going to hell that we drive past every day. It's about the people that don't know there's hope, that don't know about God's love. I can't just be happy with my little club when I'm smack in the middle of a nest of those people. But I'm looking forward to the promise being fulfilled, as all of God's promises will be, for a new heavens and a new earth. And as to what it's going to look like, don't know. Just know it's going to be good. It is interesting also that this one has to be destroyed completely. It can't be remodeled. There's no extreme makeover, you know, for planet Earth. Little Bondo, little paint, you know, there's a little different furniture, and everything is going to be, no, it's, you know what it is? It's like our flesh. Our flesh can't be remodeled. It can't be rehabilitated. Our flesh has to die. It's too polluted. We need new life. We need a new life in us that's not polluted. And that's just the way God's going to deal with all earthly things. If they can't be brought under his rule and made beautiful, they're going to be destroyed. There are moments when I just yearn, like I said, I just yearn for that to happen. The thing that stops me from being real excited about that, like I said, is all the people that I know that would be destroyed along with it. And if that doesn't please God's heart, it shouldn't please my heart either. I should be feeling the same way about it that he is. So then, dear friends, since you're looking forward, eagerly expecting this, make every effort, be diligent. It involves the burning of calories. It involves labor. It burns some calories to this end, to be found. And that's an important phrase, to be found spotless, to be found blameless, to be found at peace with him. I wrote down some synonyms because I just want to do that. Where it says spotless, that's clean. Where it says blameless, that means forgiven. There's a difference between blameless and sinless. Sinless means you don't make mistakes. Don't know anybody like that. Bible says there isn't anybody like that except Jesus. Blameless means the sins are forgiven. There's no blame ascribed to you. The record has been cleared. Who makes us clean? Who makes us blameless? I can't do it. Jesus is the one that does it. Who makes us at peace with him? The word at peace with him means no conflicts with him. Two things I wrote down that are sort of wrap all of this up, that all of those statements. It's been kind of my motto. There's lots of information you don't need to know about me, but when Sandra comes over, I hope you're going to come take care of my kitty boy while I'm gone, aren't you? On vacation. I guess I shouldn't have asked you on tape. Where you couldn't say no. Good strategy, Bob. If you came to my house, you'd find that it looks like a museum more than a house where somebody actually lives. Everything's in its place. That's because I have no children. It's because I have no life, actually. The only thing out of place is kitty hair. And I have one of the best vacuum cleaners you can buy, and I cannot keep up. He's a hair machine. He just is. But here's something I've learned about washing dishes and doing laundry and dusting. I've sloughed off on the dusting thing lately because no one ever comes over. So who's going to know but me and my sinuses. But I discovered that if you wait until you have no clean dishes in the cupboard, washing dishes is quite an ordeal. If you sort of wash as you go, I mean, I'm not coming over to your house to see what you do. I'm just saying I learned this. I learned that if you wait till there are no clean clothes whatsoever, do you have a whole day of laundry? If you can find a way to just kind of keep as you go. Okay, so this is my philosophy about what Peter's talking about make every effort to stay clean, to be blameless with him, to be at peace with him. Two things. Number one, stay close to Jesus. This is why I always get nervous when I see people drifting away for whatever reason. Remember the five steps to Peter's downfall? The last step was he followed Jesus at a distance. Technically, I'm still a believer. Yeah, but where's Jesus and where are you? You're over here warming yourself at the enemy's fire. You're cruising, buddy, for disaster. So stay close. And the other is keep short accounts. Don't let stuff accumulate. Man, if God tugs at your heart about something, make that phone call and apologize for being a grumbler when you're helping somebody. I want to have the kind of conscience, not that I'm constantly filled with guilt. It's a different thing. But I want to have a tender conscience that if God says, whispers, son, you shouldn't have said that, that I deal with it right then, immediately. Keep short accounts. I can't promise Jesus I'm never going to make a mistake. I can't promise him anything except that I need him. I have found that the closer that I stay, the better off I am. The shorter the accounts I keep with him, the cleaner and more blameless state I live in. You know what I mean. Usually we know what that means by doing it wrong. Let me read you just a few verses in 1 John. I love this. I think it's talking about this very thing. I'm going to start 1 John chapter 1, verse. I'm going to start verse 5.5. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet we are walking in the darkness, we lie. And we're not living by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another. That's not speaking of you and I having fellowship, it's speaking of us and God having fellowship. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies, present perfect tense, meaning constantly, continually purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and will keep on constantly purifying us from all unrighteousness. One of the ways to keep my accounts short is right there in those few verses. Confess. What does that mean? Homologeo is the Greek word. It's a compound word, obviously. Homo meaning the same and logeo meaning to speak. It means that I say the same thing about my sin that God says about my sin. If I do that, it says he's faithful, he'll forgive me. You think, well, that's not such a big deal. Oh, yeah? I know people right now that their whole life is going down in flames. They're addicted to drugs. They're right back where they were before Jesus found them. And one of the obstacles to them being right with God is they call it what it is. It's somebody else's fault. Christians are judgmental. You know, I married the wrong person. It's blame shift.